A lot of churches have been in the news the past couple of weeks. One of the frustrating things about being a church-type person is that when churches get in the news, we hardly ever get in the news for things we do, let alone good things we do. We usually just make the news for things we say. And so, for example, over the past week or two, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America met their general convocation, very similar to our Methodist general conference. And at that convocation, they made a ton of different statements and committed to a ton of different things, including stances to eliminate poverty and improve global health, very similar to the Methodist areas of focus that we have. They also took a vote to allow clergy who are gay or lesbian to serve in Lutheran churches. And that vote was not unanimous, surprisingly, and generated controversy. And what made the news was not even the vote, but the controversy around it. And my friend, who's a Lutheran pastor, just threw her hands up in the air and said, "Why is it that this is what we get in the news for? Controversy around a vote, when we just committed ourselves to action in the world for justice and for outreach and to feed people who are hungry and to bring, you know, peace, we hope, to parts of God's world. Why is it that that's what always gets people's attention?" And I can hear her. I can totally resonate with that because I was called this week to make a statement for the news. A statement about the wonderful things that my churches are doing locally? No, although we are doing wonderful things locally. A statement because a handful of about 10 people from a place calling themselves a church in Kansas are going to come to the high school on Tuesday and yell at kids for 20 minutes. And somebody wanted to know what a church person thought about that. And I have no problem telling them that I think that the message and the method are deplorable. But I also said, "Gee, is that really what you want to say about church and about church people on either side? Is just what we talk about? Just the public statements, the publicity moments that we talk about?" You know, I have lots of friends who are not involved in church or marginally involved in church or used to be involved in church and got disillusioned or disheartened or disenfranchised about it and don't do the church thing anymore. And one of their biggest criticisms is that church people are all talk and no action. And I can certainly see where they get that impression from kind of the public face that ends up being us in the world, you know, is that we make statements and we're all talk and no action. And my friends say, "Why don't you get out there, stop talking about your faith, and just do it?" You know, like the Nike slogan, "Just do it." That's what faith should be like. And there's this perception, which, by the way, is patently untrue, but this perception that all we ever do is think about our faith or talk about our faith, and that that's what we're doing when we come together for an hour. You know, we sit here 1 hour a week, and we talk about our faith. We talk through prayer. We talk through singing. We talk through reading the Bible or listening to the Bible. We talk through giving a sermon or listening to a sermon, and then we leave and we go home. And we don't do anything else that has anything to do with God or church for another 6.5 days, and that was faith. And there's this perception that that's all church does. That's all the people of God do, which is, as I say, just fundamentally, radically untrue. Because there are churches, including this one, there are churches all over the country, all over the world, who pound the pavement week after week, year after year, day after day, doing faith, living faith, trying to make sure that people who are hungry are fed, that people who need clothing are clothed, trying to make sure that the word and the message of God's grace gets out there to the people who need to hear it. There are people, we are people of faith, who do it. We just do it. That was the challenge from the author of the letter that we call James. And scholars don't know which guy named James wrote it or when or where. But what is clear is that his community was one in which people were oppressed and people were suffering. And the people who were oppressed and were suffering, they were Christians and non-Christians. It didn't matter. They were oppressed and they were in need. And the people who were observing this suffering were Christians and non-Christians. And James's challenge is to not just talk about faith or not just accept and receive faith, but to actually put it into action. Because you see, a lot of times people were just sort of saying, oh, wow, I see that you're hurt. I see that you're in need. I see that you're impressed. Well, I'll pray for you. God bless you. And that was it. And James says, no. God doesn't just care about souls. God doesn't just care about you know, a person receiving a prayer or hearing a prayer. God cares about our lives here and now. You know, we're not a religion that's about a pie in the sky by and by. We're about how people live and thrive and are able to live healthy lives so that they can love and serve and praise God with their whole hearts, and they're not being, you know, constantly assaulted by the people more powerful and more wealthy than themselves. And so he says, your faith is incomplete if all you do is receive the word, hear the word, and never put it into action. Never do it, never live it. Never take the words and the messages you've received and actually put them into practice. And so James says, as we're more familiar, the language we're more familiar with is be hearers of the word and doers of the word. What he says is, do not be hearers only who deceive yourselves. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Just do it, he says. Now, when I say the word or the word of God, I want to make clear what I mean by that, because I don't just or exclusively or literally mean a book of scripture, because that can be cherry-picked and taken to mean 100 million different things as people have done for a couple thousand years at least with the New Testament, let alone the Hebrew scriptures before that. And the people who are going to be standing outside the high school on Tuesday with hatred in their hearts and on their signs, they're going to have words from the Bible on their signs or quotes from the Bible on their signs. They've read the Bible. I don't think they've heard the word, because the word is more than just reading the Bible and hearing it. The word is the story. The word is the overall truth of God's communication with humanity. It's everything God has ever said to humanity. And that word, cosmically, metaphorically perhaps, is that is kind of on a macro level, is the power by which God speaks and creation happens. That word is the way in which God inspires and instructs and challenges and transforms through prophets and teachers and leaders throughout history. That word is the wisdom that infuses a people and that brings God's vision, God's wisdom, God's justice, God's purpose to the surface so that a people can begin to live into that vision. And that word which in the beginning was with God and was God, that word became flesh and dwelt among us. You see, what we say we believe as Christians, but what we, the thing that makes us Christians is this person, this Jesus, right? And that we believe that God's speaking to us, God's communicating to humanity is revealed in this person of Christ in the flesh, dwelling among us. And so the word of God is Christ himself. The word of God is everything Christ did and said and taught, how he lived, how he died, his ministry, his death, his resurrection. And that is the word that we are to hear and heed. And the word that we are to do, it is to live the example of Christ in our lives. That is what it is to hear, heed, and then to do the word. And so, for example, I hear the word of God as communicated, as exemplified by Christ in Matthew 25. So you still got another chapter and verse stuff, too. In Matthew 25, when Jesus says, anything you've done for the least of the people in need, you've done for me. And so anytime you have fed someone who is hungry or clothed someone who is naked or visited someone in prison or comforted someone who's sick, you have done so for me. And any time you failed to feed or clothe or visit or comfort a person in need, you failed to do so for me. You see, the word that Christ lived and taught and was is the truth that we are all God's children. We are all one. We are one in Christ. And as Christ, we are one in Christ, Christ is one in God. And whatever we do as the body of Christ, and whatever we do to the world out there, to the people out there who also are the presence of Christ in the world, whatever we do to and for them, we do to and for ourselves because we are connected to them, we do to and for Christ because Christ lives in them. And so, that is the word that we hear and that we do. That is the word that we are to bring to the world, to live in the world. Now, for a lot of individuals and communities of faith, that right there is the important message. You know, great, you hear the word, this is what the word is, we learn a lot about it, we build up our faith, and then we go out. Now it's time to just go do it. Go do the word. Go live it. But I'll confess to you that I'm not actually, that's not the message that I need to hear. And that in some ways, I think this community of faith, that might not be the message that we need to hear quite as much. So you see, I'm a doer. In fact, I really like to jump headfirst into things without even checking the water level. All right? Just, I do. And we do. We do a lot of stuff. We do all the time. I mean, we are always doing things, and it's wonderful. And what I need to be reminded of, and maybe sometimes we need to be reminded of, is that what we do is the word. And we need to connect that back to our faith, to the reason why we do it. You see, if somebody asked me, if a reporter did call and asked me, why does your church participate in this community lunch thing? Why do you feed people? Why do that? Just because, you know, like all the other churches in town are doing it, or what? Why, Pastor Becca, does your church feed people? Why do you, as a Christian, think this is important? I might be content to say because people are hungry, and it's the right thing to do to feed them. And that's a perfectly acceptable answer, and it's a true answer. And it would be a complete answer if I were representing the American Red Cross or another social service agency, but it's not the total answer. The total story of who I am as a person of faith or who we are as a community of faith, is it? So you see, we don't feed people because it's the right thing to do or because we have a moral obligation to do it. We reach out to our community in love and service, feeding them, clothing them, responding to the need we see because we are doing the word. Because we believe that the presence of Christ lives in us, and as Christ's body, we have to do the work he did. And we believe that the presence of Christ lives in the world out there. And we cannot let Christ go without the ministry that is so desperately needed. We do the word not because it's right or it lets us pat ourselves on the back, but because it is God's word. It is what it means to live the example of Christ in our lives. The it that we just do is not the right thing, it is the God thing. It is what we are called to do, it is what we believe Christ taught and modeled and lived and died that we might understand that God's grace and God's love is for all people and that we are called to be vessels of that, to bring that to others, to the folks who are in need of it. There's a second criticism that those friends of mine who are marginally involved in church or not tend to lob at church people. And we might deserve this criticism a little bit more than the first. And that second criticism is that we care a disproportionate amount about bringing people into church. We care a whole heck of a lot about getting warm bodies in pews and butts in seats. Probably because sometimes when we get butts in seats, we get dollars in plates. And that really, some folks will suggest, is all the church cares about. We're kind of like a virus, just spreading. All we seek to do is replicate ourselves, hopefully with people who look a lot like us and act a lot like us, so it's just more of us. And that's what you church people are really after. And every time you go out into the community and every word you speak and every time you advertise and every time you reach out to somebody in need, what you're really trying to do underneath it all is to get more people to come to your church on Sunday morning, because that's what church people really want. And that one stings a little bit more, because it cuts a little bit closer to home, because we do sometimes really, really want to invite people to come to church, and that is a big focus of what we do. I mean, it's a place where we feel comfortable, Not only that, but it's a place where we feel inspired. It's a place where we hear the word, hopefully, right? Where we speak it, we pray it, we sing it, we listen to it, we absorb it. It's the place where we experience the word in Christ. And so, of course, yeah, we do. We want to bring people to experience the word. But maybe that experience of the word doesn't need to be tied to a time and place. I've been challenged recently to think about and pray about and preach about what it might be like if churches everywhere spent less time and less energy trying to bring people in and more time and more energy trying to send people out. You see, when we bring people in, we invite them to come here where we've heard the word and to hear it for themselves. And that's a good thing. We invite them to share in the experience that is so powerful for us, and that's a good thing. But we're inviting them to come hear the word here among us. When we send people out, when we send ourselves out into the world, we go out as doers of the word. And when we do the word, when we live the word, we speak it again. And then people hear it out there where they need it. Because you see, the purpose of evangelism or outreach or advertising even is not to get more people to come to church, but is to get more people to hear the word of God. To hear the good news of God's grace and God's love, to hear the truth that we are all one in Christ and Christ is one in God, and to be invited to live that word for themselves. And so if the purpose is to get people to hear the word, then we don't have to hold on to it in here. We need to bring it out there, live it out there. And we need to just do it. It being the word, being the faith that we've received, that we live. Out in the world around us. Now, I had a wonderful idea this morning about how we would represent this, and I had this whole great idea that we were going to bless our shoes. And so I was going to have you all take your shoes off and pile them up on the altar, and we'd say a prayer. Anybody see where the problem might be? We'd say a prayer over the shoes, and then we'd put our shoes back on. And as I thought more about it, I thought, I'll make a confession. I don't think any of you have feet or shoes that smell, but I do. And I thought that maybe you wouldn't want your shoes to be contaminated by being in a pile of 60 or so pairs of shoes, including my own, which might smell. So that maybe that wasn't the best idea. And the other thing I realized is that I change my shoes a lot. I have lots of pairs of shoes. Benji's always telling me I have
too many.
Yeah, thank you. Pairs of shoes. So, you know, I mean, I bless this pair, but, you know, I'm going to wear a different pair tomorrow. You know, I mean, you have that great, you know, just do it. But maybe that it doesn't have to just be tied to our shoes. Because, you see, we just do it. We live the word wherever the rubber hits the road, wherever we pound the pavement. And that might be with the soles of our feet or of our shoes or the palms of our hands or the wheels of our cars and bicycles and whatever else. It might be with our keys as we leave the house and go out, or with the ID tag you have to wear when you go to wherever it is that you work or that you need an ID tag for. So I thought instead we'd bless some ribbons, and we'll bless our shoes by proxy. And so we'll say a prayer of blessing for our ribbons. And then on the way out, I'll invite you to take a ribbon, and you can tie it to your shoelaces or sandals if that works for you, or to the chain on your, you know, little key ring on your keys, or wheel spokes of a bicycle, or put it in the visor of the car or wherever it is that reminds you that you're about to go out and do something. Because you see, every time we go out into the world, we go out to be hearers of the word and to be doers of the word. To tie a knot, you have to use both ends of the string, unless you're doing one of those fancy things. No Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts tell me other ways to tie knots right now. To tie a knot, you have to use two sides of the string. You have to hear and you have to do. Like I said, with the children, it's like breathing. You have to breathe in, you have to breathe out. And so we hear the word, we receive the word in our lives, and then we do and live the word in community. And so I'll invite you to take a ribbon on your way out and tie it to some means of being sent forth that we might remember. We do hear the word, and we do go forth to just do it. Let us pray. Gracious God, bless our feet and our hands. Bless our tires and our keys. Bless ourselves and any means by which we are sent out into your world. Bless us that we might remember that we are filled with your grace and your love because you have poured it on us and on all people. And that having heard and heeded and received that word, we might go forth to live it and to be it in our community and around the world. Bless also these ribbons that they might remind us when we see them, whenever we see them, that we are hearers and doers of your word, that we are called to be faithful to the word you have spoken in Christ and in all of the story of your love for us, and that we are called to go forth to live it and to just do it. Amen.